You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on the show, I'm talking with Michelle Eame. Michelle, thanks so much for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Michelle, we're going to talk about your show, of course, Hello Goodbye at Divin Gallery, and I'm excited to get into this, to maybe step back and look at the whole body of work. Tell me a little bit about this, because, of course, this is, in one way, kind of informed by or reflection of Terracotta Warriors, and but this is a very contemporary subject, right? How you're using the materials, how the figures are standing, everything. So to just step back and look at the whole show, can you tell me about your relationship to these figures, these sculptures that we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, so I was doing a residency at the Museum of Arts and Design last year, and while I was, you know, working on different figures, I had this experience of coming back from Korea, which is where I'm from and where most of my family lives, and I just was like, you know, I'm exploring this idea about home and how, like, home is like this place that feels like it doesn't really exist in one location. So I've always like thought about how I'm in between different cultures here in the U.S. and Korea, and just kind of like being on this flight. I just had this experience of like, oh yeah, like this perfectly describes like my existence in life, of like being suspended and always feeling like I'm in between different worlds. And so I had this idea of, you know, of course, reflecting on the Terracotta Warriors, I had this idea of building flight attendant women, specifically of Korean Air. And yeah, I wanted to see like a large group of them. And then also, you know, this is like kind of tied into my interest in specifically looking at women, Asian women in the service industry. So yeah, that's kind of like where the idea came from for the show.
And let's talk about materials before we get into these figures. You know, these again, reminiscent of Terracotta Warriors in a way. These are a series of warriors, right? I mean, how do you see the group of them? I want to talk about materials, but the group itself are, when I think of flying, you know, these are the people that are guarding our safety, that will literally perhaps save our lives, right? I mean, that's one way to look at it. Maybe that's not how you're looking at it, though. You're also talking about a specific demographic in the service industry, right?
Yeah. No, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, they are, you know, they're the kind of service that they provide is like giving you the sense of comfort without making you start to think about your safety issues of like being in midair and doing this like supernatural like thing. So yeah, I definitely think of them as warriors. You know, they are for your safety, but and there's also like this peculiar aspect to specifically like the Korean Air flight attendants for me. It's like, it's just the image that they project is like so overly perfect, you know, even just like their movement and their facial expressions and just like the high level of like service that they provide is something that I was drawn to, because it feels very surreal. And it's also like a role that I personally understand, because I worked in the service industry for a really long time, you know, working as a captain at a fine dining restaurant. So I just kind of like see the connection there, and yeah.
And let's talk about the materials, because these aren't terracotta, of course, right? These are ceramic, epoxy, enamel, and acrylic. So how are these built?
So it actually is terracotta clay. So I do specifically low fire ceramics. So I utilize terracotta clay, or sometimes it's called earthenware clay. So it's like this red iron-rich clay that I use, and yeah, and then they. So I, you know, the primary method is like kind of, well, not kind of, it's like traditional ceramics process. Like I build them. It's hand built with coils and slabs, and then because my kiln size kind of poses a limitation to how big I can make the pieces. They are built in, they're built modularly. So they're built in sections. So most of the flight attendant figures are built in four different parts and then they're joined afterwards. So they kind of like stack on top like a totem or, you know, essentially like if you look at functional lidded jars, they're basically built like that. So they kind of fit into one another and then stack on top of each other. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I don't know about that process. So and traditional terracotta, is it made this way? The warriors that this references in some way, that must have been a slightly different process, or was it similar, kind of low-firing process?
Yeah, so I have a feeling that so I don't really know too much about the technicality aspect of how the ancient terracotta warriors were built. But if they used terracotta, it probably was fired to a lower temperature. And I know that like I recently learned that the bodies were probably made with molds, and so up until like the neck point, I think a lot of the bodies are very similar, but then all the heads were sculpted differently to reflect all the individual warriors.
And it often has that red color, right? That's kind of like an earth color almost, right? An earth ochre.
Yeah, yeah. Red, terracotta clay is like a ubiquitous clay found all over the world, and it's traditionally, it looks a little bit more reddish brown in before it's fired.
So let's talk about the sculptures themselves. I wanted to begin with the two figures. There's one that has two figures together, which is unusual. Looks mm-hmm. kind of like a mirror of one almost, and their hands are making a heart shape. It looks like to me, and they're also standing on trays, which they're all standing on different things, different platforms, but the tray adds kind of a sense of humor to it. But the two figures together is distinct in this grouping, right? Because, or is it meant to be the same figure, a mirror of one figure?
Yeah, they're kind of like twins. Yeah, for the show, I wanted to do kind of like this sculptural diptych. And so I'm interested in this idea of like duality. So I thought, so that's what kind of prompted me to make the twins, and they're loosely based on my own face. And yeah, I mean, it's supposed to be a little bit more humorous and, you know, the hearts coming together, is often like a pose that I find Korean, like a lot of Korean people do, or in Asia, it's like a common, like a hand expression, I guess. So I wanted that to be in there. And it's also like my father passed away early March of this year. And, you know, there was like a whole it was like a month long period where my father's health was declining pretty rapidly, and it was like during that time when I built these two figures. So I feel like it's kind of like a send-off also, you know. Personally, I feel like that's kind of like where that idea came from as well, just kind of reflecting on, you know, this journey that I make going on this plane. And it's just like every time I go on that plane, it's like a 15-hour journey, and it feels very it's a long journey, you know. And I just feel like I get on that plane, I have so many different thoughts and feelings, and especially coming back from Korea, there's like the sentiment of like, you know, when I return, it will change once again. It's like it's constantly changing, and you know, and then just kind of thinking about how my dad is, you know, going to pass soon, like you know, all of these things were coming to mind, and that's kind of like where the title idea came from too. Hello, goodbye.
Thanks for sharing that, and my condolences to your father. That's so recent, and yeah, I would imagine that that does, of course, have a big impact on everything. So you're also referencing the titles, of course, which are very specific. There's another one. I'm not sure I'm saying it right, but Hyosun, which is a picture, a sculpture rather, of carrying a bottle. It looks like perhaps a bottle of wine, but the names that you've given these, as you just mentioned with the twins, also have a, as I understand, a specific meaning. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So my mom helped me. She titled most of the pieces. Like, while I was making the figures for the show, I would just send, like, work in progress images to my mom. And then it just started off with, like, her making an assessment. And like, she would just come up with these names. And I just thought it would be really interesting to have her just title most of them. But the names itself, like, it's kind of hard to explain, but like Korean language is, it stems from Chinese, the Chinese language. So like each of the names they're written out in romanized form. So, and then with like the Chinese characters next to it in parentheses. And so like the all Korean names, they typically each syllable has a root in a Chinese character, which holds like a symbolic meaning. So like the one, the girl holding the wine bottle, her name is Cherry, and Che means many colors. And then Li means intelligent. And so my mom wanted to name her that because she said she looked like she had a effervescent kind of personality, and that that she also seemed like she would change her mind on an instant, and that she like talked a lot, and so that's why she came up with the name Chetty, many colors and intelligent.
I love that. And so I'd love to hear more about your mom. So you collaborate with your mom sometimes. I mean, that's a really nice dialogue. So because your mother's looking at your work, she's understanding it, she's appreciating it, and also taking part in it, right? That's a powerful gesture to title, and also it seems to be a kind of entryway into just discussing artwork with your mom, which is not always an easy thing to do for artists, right? Talk about your work with family, I mean, unless they're artists themselves. It's a topic that is not only always easily understood, and Your mother seems not only embracing of it, but is a collaborator to some extent, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think so. I've been doing ceramics specifically for the last 12 years. Or prior to that, I was dabbling in painting, and you know, I've always like kind of identified myself as an artist. And I think before I got into ceramics, my parents didn't really understand like what that was about, and had a hard time just like being able to connect with me on that level. But I think it's more like when I started doing ceramics, it made a lot more sense for my parents. And it's because my uncle owned a ceramic factory in China for 30 years. And so, and this is my mom's older brother. And so my mom understands ceramics because, you know, she had a family member who did that. And so I feel like she's able to like kind of access what it is that I'm trying to do through the language of ceramics. And, you know, she's always been supportive. And I think when I started doing these figures, I think the figure in general is like easy for people to digest. And so yeah, she, I guess, became a collaborator, because I mean, she's very interested in the figures that I'm making. So, yeah.
Yeah, so interesting. I love to hear that. And so to talk about another one of the figures, there's one that's called Young Un, and again, I apologize for my likely mispronunciation. And this is a sculpture holding portion of a seatbelt in the air, which looks almost like a pistol, like a gun. I know that's not intentional, but it's an unusual object because it's cut off, right? I mean, that's how it's built. Tell me about this, and I am mispronouncing it, right? Is it Yongun or something else?
Yeah, it's Yongun. Yep. The name Yongun means young. Young means clever, and then un means grace. So, yeah, it was like my mom who came up with this name, and she looked at her, and she was just like, yeah, she looks very smart. So that's kind of like where the name came from. But that just became really interesting because I think that's the piece where I think some people, not everyone, but I realize a lot of people see like sort of like the darkness behind that face and that pose as well. And I did that pose with the seatbelt because I always thought that demonstration is like so absurd to do in the beginning of a flight. You know, it's like this weird performance. So that's where the idea came from. But I think a lot of people, or some people, see just kind of like they read into the dark aspect of like being in hospitality and doing that and doing that performance. You know, what is going on in that person's inner life, like doing this performance over and over again as part of their job requirement.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love hearing about all of this. There are really stories within here, so many of them. There's the way you're coloring the hair on some of these is also really interesting and is the one thing that seems particularly expressive, right? The hair on several of these figures is just filled with color. Can you tell me a little bit about your choice there? Because that's one of the few things in here, other than what they're standing on as well, that's slightly different from what we would likely see in reality, although I'm not sure, but that seems to be such an unusual way to color hair.
Yeah, so the hair color is pulling from what's called obangsaek in Korean traditional painting. So when you go into like ancient temples or palaces in Korea and just and then also like looking at traditional clothing, there's often like a lot of color that is used in painting, and obangsaek is comprised of five different colors that are used to essentially to express the sense of harmony. And so I don't know if you've ever had bibimbap, Korean bibimbap, but it's like this mixed bowl with many different colored vegetables in it. And that's kind of like a part related to this idea of the five colors and harmony.
Oh, I love that. It's a very specific reference there. How has the reaction been to this? And in one way, it seems that, you know, you're telling me stories and bringing me into a world, a culture that I'm not so familiar with. And there must be others who are familiar with this culture who also understand the kind of references here, which I'm asking you about, but don't always pick up on. Is that a conversation you had, or is there quite a difference between those who, for example, are Korean and understand some of the references and those who are learning about that? And is that part of the dialogue and tension here?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know how people would react to it, but I think that, like, and because I started building, I built the first one when I was doing my Mad Museum residency. And so I think through that residency, the conversations that I had about that first one, it was interesting to see like how different everyone's reaction is. So yeah, I think like with this show, with all of them together, the reaction has been really interesting. Like, and it's all different, right? Just like depending on what your background is, and so everyone's like access point is different. And of course, Korean people recognize the flight attendant, the specific uniform, you know, right away. And then it's funny, sort of like I would get like messages from people who are not Korean and they went to Korea for the first time. They flew on Korean Air and they were just telling me like how all they could see is like the flight attendant sculptures that I made, which was kind of like funny to think about. But yeah. So
I like that. That is funny, right? I would imagine that would strike me too. So interesting, right? The way art can interface with life like that. I want to thank you, Michelle, for talking with me today. Of course, for listeners, there's more links here so they can look closer at the work we've been talking about. But Michelle, again, I want to thank you so much for taking your time here today with me and for the beautiful show you put together.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.